Morning Huddle with David Hurlbut. Weekday mornings at 8.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came.
8:30 in the morning. Friday, January 8th. I hope your 2021 is off to a great start here, folks. Go Fast Energy Drink Hotline and text line if you have a question for me or my next guest. 303-831-1340. Call or text. Jake's on the phones. I've got the text page pulled up in front of me, and he usually tells me anyway what I've missed. So we've got you covered. Okay, it feels like it's been a long time since we've really chatted, because the last few weeks have had all these holidays in there, short weeks. But here she is back in her third segment on Fridays. LLV, editor, MileHighReport.com. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. The idea of getting back to some normalcy sounds really good.
I think we'll all take that right about now. Oh, my goodness. There's that laugh. That makes the day better. Lori, I've got so much for you, so let's start rolling here. Just give me a thought or two on the field, how the Broncos ended the season, how you feel about Vic, how you feel about Drew Lock, that sort of debacle at the end of the game against the Raiders, taking the timeout, giving them time to set up. How did the Broncos finish the season for you as a team on the field?
Yeah, I was really disappointed, honestly, because I thought, like, to finish that way after fighting through that game was such a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I wrote in my post on Monday that, honestly, I think that loss hit me more than any other this year, just because I hate the Raiders.
Sure.
I hate losing to the Raiders. I would have been fine losing and, like, finding the silver lining in the better draft pick. But to, like, be so close and to then just kind of give it up because you can't manage the clock. And I blame Vic for that timeout a little. Like, we can talk about that if you want. But I also, you know, Melvin Gordon going out of bounds twice. Like, you're a veteran. You know what to do. Run out the clock.
Right, totally.
And then, you know, in that timeout there on the fourth down, or on the two-point conversion, I can totally see where it happens. They score. Vic knows they're probably going for two to win, so he is getting prepared for that, and he is focused on the defense. He's talking to his guys. He's looking at the defense. He doesn't know that the Raiders are in mass confusion and that they can take advantage of that. But that's partly because he's calling the defense so much. So I think the lesson in that one is either he needs to give a little more leeway to, you know, letting Donatell call that stuff, you know, trust him more, or he needs to have someone else paying attention so that he doesn't miss that opportunity, because that was a huge opportunity to miss. So I just felt flat after that loss.
I know. I hear you. Number one, if you don't call the timeout, maybe they'll move back 5 yards. Who knows what they do at that point? And number two, if they still get the 2-point conversion, at least you have a timeout when you're trying to go for the game-winning field goal. And I also didn't understand why they didn't try one more play with nine seconds to go. Try and get 5-6 more yards. But what the heck, though? I know.
Yeah.
I'm a Jersey guy here. I've never played football at the NFL level, so what do I know, Lloyd? But I do know we have a text here. Go ahead.
I agree. I think that was maybe that showed to me a little lack of confidence in your offense to be able to strategize there. Ironically, give it to Melvin Gordon. He can go out of bounds. He did it before.
I know. And Melvin Gordon, other than, you know, yeah, you're right. I hear you. Now I hear the joke in that. Sorry. Yeah, he knows where the sidelines are. I got you. I got you. Boom, boom. Here's a text for you from Danny, who's got a crush on you out here. LLV, is it time to make a long-term deal with Justin Simmons? Or franchise one more year?
No, I would make the long-term deal. Lock him in. I don't know why we'd question it. I mean, I've always said, like, to me, there are times to overpay and you know, maybe you're a little wrong, or maybe you paid more than you could have.
Mm-hmm.
But there are players that are worth it. And this guy, he's young. So, you know, like, keep him around. And he showed this year, you know, that he could play. I think he played every game. He played most of the snaps. There were a couple games I think he played all the snaps. And he made plays all year, even on a terrible team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, good defense, though. So I would lock him in. I would do it now.
Okay. which they can do now. The season's over. You can start negotiating. Let's get on it. But you need a GM to start that. So here I'm looking at the five candidates. All the Denver Broncos. It's like a soap opera. Here are the five candidates I'm looking on DenverBroncos.com. Terry Fontenot from the Saints. Champ Kelly, who's got a little familiarity with the organization. George Patton, Brian Stark, and Dave Ziegler. Who do you like out of those five to be the new GM?
I don't feel like I know each of them super well. I'm not a big Ziegler's the Patriots guy, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so he's a no. Champ Kelly, I do like. I mean, I think the two organizations that I know a little bit of what he's done with them with Chicago and with the Broncos. You know, he was around to help bring in Peyton Manning and to get all those free agent signings in 2014. And I think, that shows that he has an eye for talent, and he, had some good gets at Chicago. And of course, I'm sure his familiarity with Vic would be good, with just the Broncos organization. I mean, I think sometimes that gets overplayed a little bit about whether they have any connection to your franchise, but it's not a, especially, I think in our scenario, it's probably really good because you got to come in eyes wide open with the owner situation being what it is. And so I think that, that gives him some advantage there. Just, he knows the Pat Bowlen legacy. He knows the drama probably, or he's very familiar with the family. And so I think he'll be able to handle that better than maybe a GM who isn't familiar with the Broncos.
Talking with Lori Latimer Volkman, editor, milehighreport.com, a great website, everything Broncos. Were you surprised Elway made that move? Do you think he was kind of pushed to make that move? What are your thoughts on Elway, taking the president title and no more general manager?
Yeah, I was surprised. I figured I wouldn't have been surprised if this happened next year. Mm-hmm. I certainly thought that Elway might be getting tired of being GM, might be tired of just sort of being associated with this when it's been hard to kind of get back to the winning tradition. But I would have thought he would have wanted to wait out his contract and Elway's a fighter too. I mean, he's a competitor.
Oh,
so
sure.
I didn't see him giving up until he had kind of gotten it at least back on the right track. And this year was such a unfortunate year to do that for anybody. And it certainly didn't turn out well for the Broncos. And so for Elway to leave now, I do not think it's his choice. I think he was definitely encouraged.
Yeah.
Strongly.
I get you. I hear you. I'm on the same page with you there. Okay, Lori, you're not in Denver, but of course you're dialed in, you're plugged into everything Broncos. All the talk here in like the last 12 hours or so is pick up the phone and see what the Houston Texans want for Mr. Watson. Do you pick up that phone? You interested?
I am.
Did you hear that in her voice, Jake? I am. It's like, would you like a date with George Clooney? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I love Deshaun Watson. I have liked him since he was at Clemson.
Yep.
A little personal story here. My brother works for Habitat for Humanity in South Carolina, and he's met Deshaun, not really when Deshaun was actually, living in a Habitat house in Georgia and not his whole background story, but he did a lot with Habitat South Carolina when he was at Clemson, and so he was always helping promote, and he'd go out on builds, and my brother speaks very highly of his, just his demeanor and his character as a person off the field, which I think we all see anyway, and watching him on the field, and I've always felt sorry for him. I would love to have him in Denver. I hope for his sake he gets out of that debacle, or at least the Texans fix their debacle, because he is too good of a player and a person to be in that hot mess.
I know. Yeah, so you don't want to see a career wasted. He's still a baby. He's 25. Okay, so this is the scenario I threw by Jake. Okay, I'm the Texans. I want three number ones and Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, not Jerry Jeudy.
I want something.
But I would...
We're negotiating it.
To me, the three number ones normally would be like a deal breaker, right? But I think Deshaun Watson is that good. I don't know that the what I think. I don't think the Texans would want Judy. Would they want Judy? I think they.
I don't know. I just picked a rising star. Yeah,
I would. I mean, but there'd be a lot of players who I'd hate to see go, but I might give them up.
Yeah. You're right.
Judy would be tough. I mean, partly because, you know, he's our first round draft pick. He's going to be good. You're going to want to keep some targets, obviously, if you bring in a great quarterback, especially one with the arm that Deshaun Watson has.
Yeah.
I think what we might see is, if they're even planning and talking about this, is some of our other stars or, possibly a Von Miller or, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
it's going to have to be three number ones, because I was talking to Jake on the break. If Jamal Adams goes to Seattle for two number ones and he's a safety, then a franchise quarterback's going to be at least three number ones. So can you part with three number ones starting with this year, the number nine pick?
I think I could. Yes, I could this year.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is tough. I mean, this is the tricky dilemma is we have seen for the last 5 years, not having a franchise quarterback kills you.
Yeah.
So the draft picks are hard to give up, but draft picks are, they're always a gamble. I would say that our first round picks the last couple of years have been really great players. And to say, would you have taken Deshaun Watson and not had Bradley Chubb? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I love Bradley Chubb. I don't really want to give him up.
Mm-hmm.
But a franchise quarterback does not come around as easily as an edge rusher in the first round, or a cornerback, or a safety, or anybody.
I hear you. I know. They don't grow on trees.
Lori? They do not. And also, Deshaun Watson has been my fantasy football quarterback for a couple of years, and I love him. He comes through. He's amazing.
Well, there you go. I mean, if that doesn't, tip the scales.
Right?
Yeah. I will send that email right over to Mr. Elway and Ellis right now.
Please, Lori.
Enjoy Wild Card Weekend. Real quick, we have 30 seconds to go. Who wins the whole thing?
Go Bills.
I love that. Me too. I'm pulling for the Bills. I like them. They've
totally
suffered
the
too
Bills.
Long. Too long.
Yep.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks for humoring me this morning.
We love it every week. Lori Latimer-Volkman, editor, MileHighReport.com. Come on back, folks. One more segment to go in the week. Hope your day's off to a great start. This is The Morning Huddle.